Hey everybody, it's Ben and Rob. We're your hosts from Rise TV, bringing you the answers that will leave you on the edge of wonder.
Yep, and right now the FTX has collapsed and Crypto King Sam Bankman-Fried has been arrested. But what are all the connections and who are the ones really losing out in all of this? The FTX bankruptcy is exposing the potentially illegal campaign donations, but how deep does it go? And should politicians turn over the money they received from FTX?
I think we all know the answer to that one. That's yes. So join us on this Edge of Wonder tonight for a deep dive into what all this means and how Epstein is tied back into all of this. And we'll see you out on the edge. Are you listening to the Edge of Wonder podcast? If you are, please leave us a 5-star rating and review so anyone out there can find us. Thank you. How you doing, Ben? Oh, he's paused. Look at that face. I just got a message from Ben that says his storm knocked out power. I'm going to do him a favor right there and exit him from our stream so that you don't see that beautiful face of his paused in midair, so to speak. So man, yeah, you guys, while Ben is coming back on, I'm really not sure if you guys have been following this Bankman-Fried thing, but it smells kind of funny. Definitely is a little bit interesting. But before we get on to that, have you guys seen Trump's announcement? Well, Dom, would you mind bringing this up? And by the way, you guys, so yeah, I was not feeling well on Wednesday. I woke up Wednesday morning and I was just nauseous, like really nauseous. And then I was nauseous the entire day. And then around 7 p.m. at night, like I started to feel a little bit better, but I was just like kind of out. I was like super tired. I didn't eat a thing all day, but then Thursday I was fine and all good. So back in action now. Just so all of you that messaged me and that were asking about me, I really appreciate you guys. Well, Dom, let's go ahead and reveal Trump's big announcement here. There it is.
If we don't have free speech, then we just don't have a free country. It's as simple as that. If this most fundamental right is allowed to perish, then the rest of our rights and liberties will topple just like dominoes, one by one. They'll go down. That's why today I'm announcing my plan to shatter the left-wing censorship regime and to reclaim the right to free speech for all Americans. And reclaim is a very important word in this case, because they've taken it away. In recent weeks, bombshell reports have confirmed that a sinister group of deep state bureaucrats, Silicon Valley tyrants, left-wing activists, and depraved corporate news media have been conspiring to manipulate and silence the American people. They have collaborated to suppress vital information on everything from elections to public health. The censorship cartel must be dismantled and destroyed, and it must happen immediately. And here's my plan. First, within hours of my inauguration, I will sign an executive order banning any federal department or agency from colluding with any organization, business, or person to censor, limit, categorize, or impede the lawful speech of American citizens. I will then ban federal money from being used to label domestic speech as mis or disinformation. And I will begin the process of identifying and firing every federal bureaucrat who has engaged in domestic censorship, directly or indirectly, whether they are the Department of Homeland Security, the Department of Health, Human Services, the FBI, the DOJ, no matter who they are. Second, I will order the Department of Justice to investigate all parties involved in the new online censorship regime, which is absolutely destructive and terrible, and to aggressively prosecute any and all crimes identified. These include possible violations of federal civil rights law, campaign finance laws, federal election law, securities law, and antitrust laws, the Hatch Act, and a host of other potential criminal, civil, regulatory, and constitutional offenses. To assist in these efforts, I am urging House Republicans to immediately send preservation letters, and we have to do this right now, to the Biden administration, the Biden campaign, and every Silicon Valley tech giant, ordering them not to destroy evidence of censorship. Third, upon my inauguration as president, I will ask Congress to send a bill to my desk revising Section 230 to get big online platforms out of censorship business. From now on, digital platforms should only qualify for immunity protection under Section 230.
This is very interesting.
Standards of neutrality, transparency, fairness, and non-discrimination. We should require these platforms to increase their efforts to take down unlawful content such as child exploitation and promoting terrorism while dramatically curtailing their power to arbitrarily restrict lawful speech. Fourth, we need to break up the entire toxic censorship industry that has arisen under the false guise of tackling so-called mis- and disinformation. The federal government should immediately stop funding all nonprofits and academic programs that support this authoritarian project. If any U.S. university is discovered to have engaged in censorship activities or election interferences in the past, such as flagging social media content for removal of blacklisting, those universities should lose federal research dollars and federal student loan support for a period of 5 years and maybe more. We should also enact new laws laying out clear criminal penalties for federal bureaucrats who partner with private entities to do an end run around the Constitution and deprive Americans of their First, Fourth, and Fifth Amendment rights. In other words, deprive them of their vote. And once you lose those elections, and once you lose your borders like we have, you no longer have a country. Furthermore, to confront the problems of major platforms being infiltrated by legions of former deep staters and intelligence officials, there should be a 7-year calling off period before any employee of the FBI, CIA, NSA, DNI, DHS, or DOD is allowed to take a job at a company possessing vast quantities of U.S. user data. Fifth, the time has finally come for Congress to pass a digital bill of rights. This should include a right to digital due process. In other words, government officials should need a court order to take down online content, not send information requests such as the FBI was sending to Twitter. Furthermore, when users of big online platforms have their content or accounts removed, throttled, shadow banned, or otherwise restricted, no matter what name they use, they should have the right to be informed that it's happening, the right to a specific explanation of the reason why, and the right to a timely appeal. In addition, all users over the age of 18 should have the right to opt out of content moderation and curation entirely and receive an unmanipulated stream of information if they so choose. The fight for free speech is a matter of victory or death for America.
This is very interesting.
The survival of Western civilization itself. When I am president, this whole rotten system of censorship and information control will be ripped out of the system at large. There won't be anything left. Restoring free speech will begin to reclaim our democracy and save our nation. Thank you, and God bless America.
That's very interesting. Ben, how you doing?
Oh, man, that was crazy. There was this massive explosion, and then all the whole entire power just went off, you know. And
the lightning or something?
Well, it happened. It was a transformer out here because, you know, when with the, yeah. So there's a massive storm happening right now. And this is really like one of the first major storms we've seen in a while in this area. And they were just
hurricane.
They replaced all of the, you know, all of the electricity, but they did it really quickly. And it's a little bit unstable, I think. And so,
hopefully another transformer didn't explode. There he is.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. So the, I'm having a, not having great connection right now. So
no worries. You're plugged directly in, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we'll just, you know, we'll do our thing. No problem.
Yeah. It was, every time the power went out, when it came back on, there was like this loud boom sound outside. Mm. And it was like, oh, man.
So Ben, tell me, we just watched that Trump video. Like, what were your thoughts on the Trump video?
Well, you know, it's interesting because, okay, did you talk about like the cards and everything?
No, not yet, actually.
You haven't? Okay.
No.
So, you know, of course, like everyone's waiting for this big announcement, and then the announcement comes and it's these NFT trading cards that he's selling for like $99. And like, I mean, even everybody was like,
wasn't what the that heck? The big announcement?
What'd you say?
Wasn't that the big announcement?
This is what's funny about it. On the left, they're like, you know, blasting Trump for doing this. And then it's like, this seems to be the really big announcement. The video we just watched. Right. Mm. And so the left is saying like, oh, because of the failed launch NFTs, this is why Trump, you know, had to do something to make up for this. On the right, people are saying like, oh, actually, this was pretty smart. Drop these like weird NFTs online, get everyone talking about it. And then all of a sudden it's like, release your video. But, you know, I don't know really what the plan was, but Cat Turd had something really funny.
Of course he did.
Yeah. And actually, Dom, can you pull this up, this tweet with Cat Turd here? He says, my three guesses of Trump big announcement today were getting back on Twitter, picked a VP, leaving the worthless Republican Party to form a third party Patriot Party. Introducing Donald Trump digital playing cards wasn't even on my bingo card.
That's really funny.
Oh yeah. Anyway, that's pretty funny. But you know, so Dom was showing the other tweet, and really, you know, the big announcement outside of the very interesting trading cards there, which I have to admit, I was really shocked as well. I'm like, wait a minute, there's got to be more to this, right?
Yeah. Either he did that on purpose or he just didn't. You know, like the thing is, though, is, you know, the what they're saying about him kind of coming out with this announced, like this freedom of speech announcement after that, doesn't really make sense, a lot of sense to me, just because that's like what we just listened to, like the steps that he's going to take, that he says he's going to take after he's inaugurated, that was very, very well thought out and calculated.
Yeah.
So there's no way that he just came up with that really quick. Like,
there's
that
no
was,
way at all.
No.
Yeah. Because that's like a video that was like, you know, that probably spent weeks writing, going through everything. You can't just like, oh, wow, we need to do something on the fly and make a video. Like, it doesn't happen that way. So I think that was the plan all along.
Mm, it must have been. That part definitely doesn't make sense. So, I mean, it had to have been, right?
Yeah. That's what I'm thinking too. So anyway,
all right, before another transformer explodes.
Yeah, seriously. I think the storm kind of calmed down now, so we'll see how that goes. So all right, let's finally get into some of this FTX stuff, because this is, I mean, as everyone pretty much knows now, Sam Bankman-Fried, he you know, he's been arrested in the Bahamas like one day before his court hearing or whatever, you
it
know was,
it wasn't just a court hearing, it was congressional,
the congressional hearing. Yeah
So I mean, why would that, think about that, is that even legal? I don't honestly don't even know if that's legal to do, because there was a congressional, you know, like appearance he needed to make in front of Congress, which is like arguably one of our most powerful, you know, like parts of our government. And he would have had to answer a lot of questions there. And Congress is now Republican, is it not?
Well,
after the midterms, I mean, for the most part,
yeah, it is. But Maxine Waters is basically kind of overseeing this whole thing, which we're going to get into in a second.
Okay, so like from that perspective, like, well, okay, we know that people maybe, if people made out well from this, they might have softballed those things, right? Mm-hmm. But it's doubtful everyone would have. So is it strange to anyone else that this guy gets arrested before that? I mean, I think it is.
Yeah.
I
agree. Yeah. And actually, Dom, if you want to pull up, these are the original court documents. Actually, it's pretty massive. It's like 40 pages. It's very extensive of what happened with all mm-hmm. of this. But, you know, I mean, I'm starting to think more and more that this guy is more of a fall guy than anything else, because I kind of like Epstein, you know, it's like there's so many connections with Epstein, you know, everyone wants to know.
What do you mean by that, Ben? For everybody at home, what do you mean by that? There's so many connections here to Epstein.
Well, it's because of who he donated to, but it, you know,
who Epstein donated to or who Sam?
Well, who Sam donated to, right?
Who? Sorry.
Sam donated.
Oh, I gotcha.
So let me backtrack real quick. So what this document basically goes through is all the accounts of fraud that he did. So in a nutshell, Sam used billions of dollars from FTX customer funds to Alameda. And Alameda was their sister organization that was like a hedge fund on the surface, but actually it really wasn't a hedge fund. And so Alameda became kind of like, I would say, his personal piggy bank. So basically all this money was pouring in to the FTX. He was taking that money, putting it into Alameda, telling people that your money is safe, or they're like investing it into something different. But really, he even came out days before the whole thing broke saying like everyone's money is safe. Then, you know, then he gave millions of dollars to political figures at the same time, buying luxury homes and then doing private investments as well. So it sounds like he's making. So one way to look at it is that, well, since I'm doing all this illegal stuff, let me just donate a bunch of money to all these political people and I'll just be able to get away with everything, you know, for the most part, you know. Then, so it's like in that aspect, it was almost like he was trying to buy out the politicians on both sides, because there was a lot of Republicans and there's a lot of Democrats that he was investing in, so they wouldn't look into him. But
yeah, if he was acting alone, right?
That's the question: right. Is he acting alone? Now it's like,
I mean, could he be acting alone? Like the chances of that are very small. I mean, if we're being honest with ourselves.
Yeah, I don't think so. And, you know, there's a lot of people tied into this. So let's show this Maxine Waters video real quick.
Blowing him a kiss?
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw this.
And Dom, if you can pull this up. Basically what we're about ready to see is that she's trying to end the hearing before the Republican guy has a chance to ask questions, and she gets really defensive and angry at
Dom. You know, okay, you did find it.
Yeah.
Record the closing statements from Ranking Member McHenry and myself. And I'd like to thank you, Mr. John Ray III.
Chairwoman Waters.
Presence here today.
Chairwoman Waters, I've not had an opportunity to testify or to question the witness.
I'd like to thank you for your presence.
Chairwoman Waters.
She just ignores him completely.
For inquiry?
Yes.
Are all members entitled to question witnesses?
You are, and if you would like to miss the votes on the floor for everybody.
Hey, it's the chairwoman's prerogative to call
just
a recess.
One moment, please.
That's your decision, not mine.
Just one moment, please. You may go right ahead and have 5 minutes. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
You're certainly welcome, sir.
All right, you can, you know, and then of course, you know, there's all these. So the big question that everyone is asking.
So what was just going on there exactly?
Okay, so Maxine Waters, there's all these photos that are coming out with her and Sam together. You know, she's like blowing kisses to him. They're like hugging each other. They're like in all these things and all these different photos and whatnot. And then it's like, it's announced that she's the one overseeing the entire hearing. So, you know, from the Republican standpoint, it's like, this seems like a conflict of interest. Like, are you really going to give him a fair trial? And then the big question came up, did Maxine get money from Sam? And honestly, looking into it, and like some people are saying that she got money from him to help with her reelection for the House. You know, I couldn't find anything concrete. Now, there are names.
Why would there be a paper trail?
That's the one aspect. So you can see a list of names of who he donated to. But I mean, my own personal feeling on this, and this is just like, you know, there's no, like I said, I couldn't find anything super concrete with this, but I have a feel because there's $10 billion that's missing.
That's kind of what I mean, though, is it's
that's
like,
a lot of money, $10 billion, and only 40 million or so is accounted to what he gave out on paper. So it's like, you know, because I mean, here's the thing. I can give you, let's say like you're running and it's like, okay, here's $10 million cash, right? That I'm giving you, that's tracked. All this is listed. But if I make a transaction in cryptocurrency and transfer it to your wallet, who's going to know?
Yeah.
So like,
and it is crypto we're talking about.
Yeah. So I wish that all this would be like, I mean, anybody, I'm talking from both sides. I think anybody that has any kind of like cryptocurrency or bank accounts or whatever should potentially be kind of open. It's like, hey, if you're serving, you know, if you're a political figure serving our country, you know, can you be open with it? You know, I mean, granted, you don't have to show like every single transaction, but it's like, you know, it'd be nice to know who holds cryptocurrency in politics, because that's something that, you know, we don't really know. So, and this is why it's hard to find out this kind of information. You know, and then this kind of gets back with the Epstein stuff, what I was talking about earlier, because, you know, it's like everyone went hard on Epstein. We're going to get way into this a little later on towards the, you know, more closer to the end. We'll kind of break down some things that I found related to this, but like right before Epstein died, there was like $60 million that was taken out of his account, you know? And so there's a lot of questions with this. So if $10 billion is missing from FTX. Mm-hmm. And you can look at what Sam purchased, you know, his home, car, whatever, you know, I'm guarantee you that in donations, that's not going to equal $10 billion. I don't even understand how you can spend $10 billion. Like, so to me, it's like, because once that money went into Alameda, then it wasn't tracked. And, you know, one of the things that they did set up, and actually everyone was commenting on it too, because it came out in the court case, was that there was a private group chat that Sam, his girlfriend, and a couple of other people were involved in called wire fraud. Like that was their group chat that they were a part of. So they were literally finding ways in this group chat
to create wire fraud.
Yeah.
Which would explain where the $10 billion went. essentially.
Yeah. Yeah. So again, you know, it's like, this is why, you know, I'm not going to, we can't point fingers. We can't say this because we absolutely, you know, we don't know.
There's no evidence.
There's no evidence. Exactly. And I really tried hard today to try to pull up something related to this, but you know, a lot of people are asking the same question. It's like, who else was Sam donating to, and how were they being, like, what format were they, was it being used? And so already the whole Ukraine thing came out, and we'll get into that here in a minute, but I'll kind of backtrack on that and get back to that. But so
and, doctor, I can't confirm this here, but someone in our chat named Dr. S said, you're aware that Maxine Waters' husband's bank is involved. Is that true?
I mean, I personally don't know, but like I said, you know, I wouldn't doubt it. The fact that she's overseeing this, you have the media that went super soft on Sam for ever since the scandal broke out, you know, and now I almost feel that everyone's trying to save themselves. So that's why I'm kind of like, Sam will probably end up being the fall guy, and they're going to make sure that they don't want certain people to ask him questions, because like one of the main questions that people are going to ask is, who else were you donating to outside of what,
or where did the $10 billion go?
Where did the $10 billion go? You know, I mean, he could say, you know, it's like, well, I don't know that there was, like, you know, and that's one of the excuses he has, is that something with they made mistakes in booking and somehow things got lost, you know, or they spent it on crazy, insane parties, which they did have. But, you know, but then you start finding out like who his girlfriend was and who she's connected to and who her father is. Yes. And like the other thing that came out is that so Sam's father, Joseph Bankman, he's like in tax legislation, and he actually helped Senator Elizabeth Warren draft the tax legislation. And this is what he does. So his father is a tax guy, probably giving him advice. That's why I just can't picture this.
There's guy. A lot of connections. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think, like, so his father is a tax guy. His girlfriend's father was head of MIT's finance department.
That's it. Yes.
The head of the finance and at MIT. He was managing the current chairman of the SEC, who's supposed to find fraud like this. And so, like, these, all of these connections, just like you can't unsee them. It's strange. It's sort of like small world, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, what is that? Didn't Elon say that? But hey, Ben, we need to watch a trailer right now. So
okay, cool.
I'm gonna pull up a trailer for us. We'll be back in a moment. Dom, do you have that ready?
Yep.
All right.
Ah, youth, a time of fun, pranks, and jokes. A time of hopscotch, ice cream floats, soda pop, and double dates at the drive-in. It's a time for finding one's place in the world. But in these troubled times, the innocence of youth has been capitalized on and manipulated for profit. This is a sugar and marketing manipulation PSA from Edge of Wonder. And it's one you've never heard before. Did you know that sugar was unhealthy? Yes. Did you know that companies like Coke and Pepsi fund health research? You aren't supposed to know that. Did you know that the history of sugar involves a deliberate agenda to hook children like a drug and use marketing, media, and subliminal messaging to purposely manipulate not just children, but even parents?
There's a fine white powder lurking in your cupboard, and it isn't cocaine. Join Edge of Wonder for a deep dive into the sickly, sweet world of the sugar agenda that has infiltrated your home, your children's minds, and even the world's governments.
This expose will reveal the truth being kept from you. But more importantly, you'll learn what to look out for so the manipulation can't continue.
All right. Sorry, I'm just going to pull up something. And hey, if you guys are watching us on podcast, please think about leaving us a 5-star rating and review so we can reach more people. Thank you, guys.
So here's one of the images I was talking about earlier with Sam and Maxine Walter. It's just like, I mean, look, I'm not trying to take sides or anything, but I mean, if this was, and granted, he did donate to both sides, but if this is like the other side and somebody is being prosecuted by, you know, the Democratic side, they would be screaming about how this is a conflict of interest, right? And all the media and all, like, you know, New York Times front page would be, you know, something like GOP allows like disgraced businessman, you know, to be overseen by, you know, friend or whatever.
Yeah, the, you know, these titles that everybody has on and who's in what's party and everything is really like one of the biggest just psyops out there. I mean, we should not be looking at what party someone is in. It's like criminal activity is criminal activity. Mm-hmm. And if it's done, then okay, then it needs to be looked at that way. That's it. You can't trust someone. It's like being like, well, they're Democrats, so I'm just gonna look away because they murdered someone or like whatever it is, right? I mean, that's an extreme case, but it's like whether Republican or Democrat, criminal activity is criminal activity. There's tons of criminals in the Republican Party, probably tons in the, I mean, we know tons in the Democratic Party. So it's like, you know what I mean?
No, completely.
It's frustrating, you know?
Yeah.
Like that's the strangest thing. Like, why would you ever hand over an investigation to someone who's obviously tied it, you know, or even if there was a chance of them being tied, you wouldn't hand them over to be the lead investigator on that, you know, or whatever it is.
Yeah. It really is very strange to me, you know, and like I said, because you can't really, it's hard to trace where a lot of the, the crypto, you know, and that's what kind of, that's what came out with Ukraine, that literally Zelensky was using FTX to purchase crypto. And then that's how they were sending it back to politicians and back in the US. So it's like, you know, that's the thing that's not being exposed in court. What's being exposed is just what he's done. And that's why I'm saying that this is a bigger issue. This is like, okay, you know, yeah. Okay. Granted, you know, this guy's weird, but obviously there's deeper connections, and it's like, it's almost like they're all there to make sure Ukraine doesn't come up in a conversation. And that's what I feel.
Maybe it's just that.
It's kind of what I feel. Which I can get into a little bit more why I think that here in a minute. Let's get into Kevin O'Leary though, because this guy, this is also kind of weird. He was promoting FTX for a long time, and then he came out in a recent interview saying that he's like been the victim. So a lot of people think he's trying to salvage his reputation, and that's what this guy is saying here. So this is interview with Kevin O'Leary, and let's play this if we can, Marco.
The major loss of the balance sheet was basically a related transaction between two shareholders. And the only reason I brought it up is that sounds like a Madoff clawback to me. I mean, there's something wrong here.
Can I ask you, Kevin, because you made it sound like he used cash, he used money that was in various accounts in order to do this, money that was in your account, for instance. But did Sam Bankman-Fried use FTT tokens to buy any part of that Binance stake back?
Great question, Melissa. Nobody knows. There's no records anymore. And that's the first place I'm sure John Ray is going to look. But was it cash? My bet is a lot of it was cash. We just simply don't know. But the point is, let's move forward now to the week of November 6th when this company went bankrupt. Why in the world would a block trade like the one owned by CZ and or Binance be tweeted out saying, I have $550 million worth of FTT tokens I'm going to put to the market? You don't trade like that. You arrange a cross. You go and find buyers, you form a syndicate, and you clear market with a trade.
Well, that's a traditional finance, Kevin. This is decentralized, you know, Wild West finance. So he didn't do that.
Melissa, that's the whole point. And let me tell you something. My read of
Actually, Dom, you can stop it now. It's fine. You don't have to listen to this whole guy. So basically, in a nutshell, for those of you guys that are trying to understand this, so Binance is another crypto exchange, kind of like a, you know, some people. So this guy's trying to relate it back to kind of what FTX is, and he's basically blaming Binance for FTX's collapse. Now, Binance kind of came back, and they're basically saying, like, you know, this had nothing to do with us, like, quit bringing us in this conversation. So that's why a lot of people think, because this guy was backing FTX so much, it's kind of like he had to blame somebody, and Binance was the next best thing to blame, because there is a lot of questions about Binance's what I want to say, their policies, or, you know, the way that they handle business practices, I should say. So Kim.com actually came out and said that anybody that has crypto using a third party, he's like, you know, him and Elon both suggest to pull it out and keep it under your own wallet and not under a third party. So that, and that's what Binance
That place is called Binance.
Binance. Gosh,
yeah, I Binance. Maybe we were talking about Jay-Z and Beyonce for a second, but then I remembered it was Binance. I just wanted to make sure that
it's Binance. Yeah, like instead of finance, Binance. Like in my sorry. Gosh,
yeah. No worries. Binance. So okay, so yeah, that's really interesting.
Yeah. So. Again, like this, so he actually testified at the Senate that Binance caused the FTX collapse and is unregulated monopoly, because he feels that that's what he's focusing on. Them, honestly,
this guy is kind of big in
they are, they really are. And you know, to his point, I think a lot of cryptocurrency is unregulated, which is why, you know, a lot of politicians are trying to do something about that. But at the same time, it's like, it's hard to say what, you know, it's like, well, this guy, obviously, you know, he didn't want to admit that he was promoting FTX. So it's kind of like pointing fingers elsewhere. But, you know, it's, that this is why it gets really messy, because there's so much money involved. There's so many people involved with this. The media is even involved. I'm sure, like, I'm kind of curious to see if any of the media got any money from this, you know. That would be fascinating.
Yeah.
It's like, here, New York Times, here's $1 million. If you don't really report on me, or if you have to make it positive, or here's 10 million in cryptocurrency. I mean,
yeah,
you're not going to be able to track that. So, however, there is a company out there. This is an article that I found on Mint Press News, and it's shadowy U.S. spy firm promises to surveil crypto users for the highest bidder. And this article is pretty scary, actually. It mentioned, like, it starts out by saying leaked files reviewed by Mint Press expose how intelligence services around the world can track cryptocurrency transactions to their source and therefore identify users by monitoring the movements of smartphones and Internet of Things IoT devices such as Amazon Echo. That's
super creepy.
That is very creepy. The contents comprehensively
detonate.
The contents comprehensively detonate the myth of crypto anonymity and have grave implications for individuals and states seeking to shield their financial activity from the prying eyes of hostile governments and authorities. I mean, the reason why people use crypto is because it's supposed to be anonymous. And this is basically pointing to the opposite, which is a long been my argument to people who are very into crypto thinking it's anonymous. And it's like, no, people wouldn't be as crazy about crypto right now if it was really that anonymous. Like, the only way my understanding is the only way it would get pushed out there and start to be utilized is if it could be, and if there was a way to get through all of the blockchain. But that's just my understanding, you know, and those are my assumptions.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, and that's, you know, I think on the surface of this, I still have cryptocurrency and everything else, but it's like, because these things are kind of unregulated and what's happening, it's very easy for governments and for political people and people with a lot of money to influence these markets in various different ways, as we're seeing. So, you know, one positive thing about it is like, for, you know, if you don't trust your government and they're monitoring everything that you're doing in like your bank accounts and whatever, you know, it's like, okay, well, you know, I'm not buying anything illegal, you know. And I think that's where this kind of becomes like a fine line with this, you know, what are you purchasing through this stuff? But it's like, well, hey, you know, I'm just buying regular things. I'm buying either online or I'm just like holding this just as like a bank account kind of thing. But it, or like, you know, collectors, like instead of gold, I have Bitcoin, you know, but the problem is now is like, they want to monitor every single aspect of this. So yeah, when something like this happens, who is bidding on it and what is happening? So that's what this article gets into. And it's just saying that there's like,
yeah, listen to this. The company covertly embeds software development kits or SDKs in hundreds of popular apps, then slices through layers of anonymized data in order to uncover sensitive information about any individual it chooses anywhere on Earth at any time. And all Anomaly 6 can simultaneously monitor roughly 3 billion smartphone devices, equivalent to a fifth of the world's total population, in real time. This sounds like Chinese tech.
This is crazy. So this Anomaly 6, this is the private firm that's doing this.
Yeah, right.
And it's a U.S. military intelligence firm.
Shadowy private spying firm founded by a pair of U.S. military intelligence veterans. Oh, man.
But I mean, you know, I guess this could go both ways. You can see, you know, like, for example, if you're like, well, hey, I want to see who Sam has been donating to, you can get these guys to kind of look into it. But on the flip side of things, it's like, well, who's the highest bidder and who's paying for this and what side are you really working towards? So, you know, that's where it gets a little bit kind of dicey and scary.
For sure.
But yeah, it's weird. It really is. And scary at the same time. Yeah. So, what Dom is pulling up right now, it's like, yeah, Sam donated over $40 million. And that's what's public. He is the second largest donor underneath George Soros to the Democratic Party, actually.
Wow.
Yeah.
Talk about being put there.
Exactly. That's what I mean. Like, this is too crazy. And then, you know, like I said, that's what we know. I mean, a couple million dollars is nothing compared to like $10 billion that's missing. So that's like the big question. And so, okay. So then this World Tribune.com, you know, there's a lot unraveling here, but it's like FTX, Ukraine and the Democrats. Did Jeffrey Epstein's island shutter or move? But basically what this article gets into is that it shows that the Ukrainian government had partnered with FTX, and the goal was to raise millions of dollars to fund the war against Russia. And Zelensky was even talking about this publicly. That's why you have Bill Clinton there with Sam. And then Sam and Zelensky were both speaking at a New York Times sponsored event, which is like so weird, because Zelensky was praising FTX by like allowing this to be used against Russia, basically. So this article goes on to say the Ukrainian government website detailing the partnership has been wiped now from the internet following the FTX, you know, collapse and all this stuff. So basically they are, no one wants to be associated with him anymore, including the World Economic Forum, which was praising him on their own website as well. And do you want to read this last paragraph, Rob? through the website?
Yeah, through the website, whose domain ends with an official gov.ua from the Ukrainian government that was used to promote the initiative and gather donations, has been deleted. The last available archive of the webpage from October 26 revealed that $60 million had been raised. Other reports estimate the figure at $100 million, the War Room reported on November 12th.
So, you know, a lot of people are like, well, is there any solid evidence that this was being used? And it's like, they had official government websites set up for FTX. And I think that, you know, Sam was becoming their poster child because he was giving so much money away. And I think through Almeida, they were using it in a lot of really bad ways, because I think he probably saw what was happening with Ukraine and it's like, hey, we can do this too. And, you know, use this funds for ourselves. And things just didn't go over very well. So actually, so then, okay. So now the question comes up, should the people who received money,
yeah, should they hand it back? I mean, right?
Yeah.
It's okay. So the White House dodges question on returning political donations from FTX founder Sam Bankman-Fried. And Dom will pull this up. And this is what's interesting. Yeah, let's listen to this. She's...
It's so funny.
Thanks, Green. Obviously, the news that the the president received campaign donations from him, many prominent Democrats, and some Republicans as well. Will the president return that donation? Does he call on all politicians who got campaign donations that may have come from Custer to return those funds?
So look, I'm covered here by the Hatch Act, limited in what I can say, and anything that's connected to political contributions from here, I would have to refer you to the DNC.
President's opinion, though, you know, does he want those people who...
No, you asked me two questions. You asked me about...
Okay, so what is the Hatch Act? The Hatch Act of 1939, because she referenced the Hatch Act. You guys heard that, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, so what is the Hatch Act? So it's an act to prevent pernicious political activities. Is a United States federal law. Its main provision prohibits civil service employees in the executive branch of the federal government, except the president and vice president, from engaging in some forms of political activity.
But why? I still don't understand why she's right. Like, you have to refer to the Hatch Act, but that doesn't, what you just read, doesn't it? It doesn't make any sense.
by the way she used the Hatch Act in that sentence, that she can't work in the job that she's working for because it's political activity.
Yeah, that was
really weird.
Is so
like she can't comment on anything that she comments on according to the Hatch Act, it sounds like.
It is,
I mean, the way she used it.
Is so weird. It is so weird. I don't even like, you know, again, if McEnany was in there and then she said that, like,
yeah, what would happen, right?
Yeah, I mean, again, it's like, you know, we're trying to look at this objectively, but it's just, man, there's just so much money involved in this. And, you know, Biden got a lot of money too. I mean, he was one of the top donors. He received like something like $300,000 at least, could be more than that. Mm-hmm. You know, from all of this. And
man, this headline, this next headline is really funny. Sam Bankman-Fried won't get special treatment at Bahamas prison. It's still a prison in the Bahamas. So it says Sam Bankman-Fried reportedly will not receive any special treatment at the rat and magoot infested Bahamian prison where he's being held. And experts say that could make him rethink plans to fight extradition to the U.S. The 30-year-old accused crypto fraudster spent Wednesday night in the infirmary of Fox Hill, the notorious prison in Nassau, that human rights officials have said officers offers inadequate medical and sanitary conditions to inmates, according to reports. So it sounds like that Bahamas prison actually isn't very good.
That's what everyone's saying.
It's doubtful that, you know, I just tend to doubt all the circumstances revolved around this situation.
I just don't know either. You know, I mean, I don't know if all of this is like a show, if he's really even there, like what is really happening. Or if he's just going to, if they're just telling him like, hey, you're just going to be here for a little bit. We'll like suicide you and get you out. And, you know, you'll actually just be in the Bahamas after that with a different name and live your life, you know? I don't know. I mean, like suicided was trending on Twitter earlier because of Sam, you know?
Yeah.
So, or Epstein. I'm sorry. It was Epstein. Not suicided. It was Epstein. Yeah. So, you know, and again, it depends on what he knows or who he was working with is the other question. So, oh man, all this stuff is just so crazy. Yeah, there's a lot of people calling him out, but then it's like
you calling start who out?
Sam out, you know. Mm. But then it's like you kind of look into it and it's like, well, some of the people that are calling him out seem to be some of the people that he was donating to. So, or they were supporting him. You know, you have like everything from famous actors to sports people to even politicians. So Ben McKenzie, he was in the OC and Gotham as well.
Yeah, this guy was the actor in Gotham, right?
Yeah, he was Gordon. You can play the little bit of this. This is pretty short.
In my opinion, the cryptocurrency industry represents the largest Ponzi scheme in history. In fact, by the time the dust settles, crypto may well represent a fraud at least 10 times bigger than Madoff. Wow. The fact that it has roped in tens of millions of Americans from all walks of life, as well as hundreds of millions of people worldwide, should be of concern to us all. In my opinion.
Okay. Mm. Now, what's weird is that, can you show the next image right below that, the next tweet, Dom? But, you know, I think I can kind of explain this because here he is with Sam. So you want to read this, Rob?
Yeah, so it says, while it's not helpful to have someone like Ben McKenzie, who lacks knowledge on how derivatives, lending and exchanges work, it's even more dangerous when you consider why they invited him. Ben met with SBF in July, and despite investigating fraud and crypto, saw nothing wrong.
And then actually you can click on that next so there he is. And then this is Ben's tweet back in July.
You want to read here it? He says, over the course of our reporting, it's been wonderful to speak with so many folks inside and outside the crypto industry. Very illuminating. If you have a story to tell, please reach out to Silverman Jacob via his Signal.
This is kind of what I mean. I don't know if they were, you know, I mean, one aspect of this is that, you know, he could have been duped by this and had all these promises to him. And it's like, oh yeah, you know, cool, I'll invest in this. And then like everything crashes, right? So he could have actually lost money on this. And then, he doing his own research and everything else. Now it's like he's coming out, you know, saying like, because we're only seeing 30 seconds of that. I didn't watch his whole entire testimony, right? He might be saying like, yeah, I did meet him and, you know, and then all this stuff happened. And now it's like I'm speaking out against crypto because of XYZ. But on the other hand, you know, it could be there's just something weird going on there. So I kind of want to look into that a little bit more. But on the surface, it doesn't look that great for Ben. But but like I said, you know, there could be a real story behind this. And, you know, then you have all these like sports players and even the Miami Heat arena was called FTX Arena now. And, you know, and now it's like, what are they going to do? Are they gonna change the name?
Did they pay for that?
Yep. Yeah. That's what I mean. Like, you know, $10 billion are missing. 40 million is accounted for. Oh, I'm sorry. 40 million was donated to. So, you know, obviously there's more money that's just kind of out there floating around. But now Larry Summers, this is where it gets really bizarre.
As if it wasn't already.
This is where the Epstein connections start to kind of really play out a little bit. So actually, Rob, if you want to read this. You can read this headline if you want.
Yeah. Larry Summers likens FTX collapse to Enron whiffs of fraud. Yeah.
So Larry Summers was the former Treasury Secretary. And he's one of the people that's been photographed with Epstein and Bill Gates together. So this is what I mean. Like,
wow.
It just gets weirder and weirder and weirder. The more I kept looking into this, this is what we're going to probably have to talk about on Rise TV because this gets a little bit too much. You know,
we're actually about to head over there now, aren't we?
Yeah, we are actually. And we can just jump right into this when we get right over there. And
okay.
The more connections between this Epstein and some of these other people that are actually people photographed with Epstein are now speaking out. We're going to get into that a little bit.
All right, you guys. Well, we're about to leave Rumble and head over to Rise.tv, where we'll explore in-depth details on how this FTX scandal gets even more intense as it connects deeper with Epstein ties. Also, we found a massive diagram on who Soros funded that you'll only hear on our private platform. You're not going to want to miss this discussion because, of course, we have a unique perspective that you're definitely going to want to hear, right?
That's for sure.
All right, so join us on Rise.tv for just $9.99 a month and support our work. If you could, we'd really appreciate it. You'll get to ask us your questions during the live Q&A. And don't forget that your support lets us do these deep dives and bring you the truth that the censors just don't want you to hear. Now check out this trailer on actually our holiday deal and then join us on Rise.tv.
Are inflation, cow farts, pandemics, pizza with pineapple, and the rise of AI, the truth about the moon landing, gas prices, and hollow earth theories keeping you up at night? Not anymore. Let your cares melt away with our unique patented streaming platform, Rise.tv. For the special holiday price of $7 a month. In just minutes, you can get access to the platform that's changing a nation. No agendas. No censorship. No anger and targeting people. Amazing and inspiring shows like Edge of Wonder.
This episode may have some of the strangest information we found yet.
Man in America.
Geopolitics, history, but also faith and where we are at this time in history.
And Chronicles of a Psychic Spy.
We work outside the construct of the physical to know things that otherwise can't be known.
All just oozing with entertainment.
The Hot Pepper Chip Challenge.
We will give you a place to not only hear the truth, but also be uplifted and entertained.
Cheers.
And you'll have a community to share it with. Don't miss this special offer.
Oh, the powder goes down your throat.
For the holidays, our yearly subscription is more than 25% off. That's just $7 a month. What a steal!
All right.
All right, you guys. We are now on Rise. So I guess we'll just kind of jump into this. So, there was a tweet that came out, and